السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So alhamdulillah, this is the 41th session of Seerah Khatam al-Nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Seerah of the Seal of the Prophets sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we were talking about Isra wal-Mi'raj. And I believe this is part 5 actually today of Isra wal Mi'raj. So some review questions of what we talked about last week. So we know that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was ascending through the different samawat, the different heavens, not Jannah, not paradise, but the different heavens. So he's ascending throughout the different heavens. And he saw a Prophet who had a large aswida, a large mass of people on his right, a large mass of people on his left. When he looked at the people at his right, he would laugh, dahik, and then when he looked towards the people to his left, he would cry. Anyone remember which prophet that was, and why was he crying and laughing? So it was Adam alayhi salam, barakallahu feek.
The people on the right were the successful ones, and the people on the left were the inshallah.
Jazakallahu khair. And what does it mean by success? What do you mean by that?
The people that will be entering to paradise.
Barakallahu feek. So that's the ultimate success. And that's good, jazakallahu for using that word. The ones who are successful. The ultimate success, no matter how many successes and how much you get in this dunya, but the ultimate success is someone who, zuhziya anin nar, the one who is saved from the fire, and wa udkhila jannah, and enters into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be of those, inshallah. So what's the difference between ghibta and jealousy? So we talked about that also. Ghibta and jealousy.
So ghibta was where you see someone who has something and you're happy for them, but you also want the same thing for yourself.
Barakallahu feek. Good.
And the jealousy is just like being evil and wanting them to not have anything and it's destroyed.
Jazakallah. You don't care if you get it or not, you just don't want that person to have it. Barakallahu feek. So ghibta is the halal type, and it's a good type. And the evil one is jealousy, envy and jealousy. That's the evil type. Which prophet was crying out of ghibta because his ummah will be smaller than our ummah, the ummah of the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Musa
alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu feek. No, it's good. Jazakallahu khair. So Musa alayhi wa sallam was crying out of that because of ghibta. He said that this man, young man, this Shab, Rajulun Shab, has come after me, and his ummah will be larger than my ummah and enter into Jannah. What is the name of the qibla of the heavens? You want to answer? What's the name of the qibla of the heavens?
I wasn't here for that one, so
okay, right. Baytul Ma'mur. Barakallahu feek. Okay, so Baytul Ma'mur, which means which is the qibla of the heavens. So we have a qibla on earth, which is the Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah, and then directly above that we have the Kaaba of the heavens, and that is called Baytul Ma'mur. And how many angels make tawaf of the qibla Baytul Ma'mur in Jannah? I mean, in the heavens. 70,000, barakallahu feek. And they never get a chance to come back. So that again tells us how many of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there are. And you know, when we get to that part of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, this is something to remind us over and over again how insignificant we are. You know, that we have this takabbur, we have this thing that I am something, right? But we are so small compared to everything else that Allah SWT has made. So it's amazing to reflect upon that, inshallah. Which prophet was leaning on this Kaaba of the heavens, and what advice did he give to this ummah? Good. Ibrahim alayhi salam, good. Okay, so Jazakallah Khair. He said give salam to your ummah on my behalf, and then he said that tell them that this the soil of Jannah is really fertile, and that it's qi'an, it's an empty land, and basically the ghirasuha, the planting of the trees and the planting in Jannah, is doing adhkar, saying different adhkar. So we should try to increase our adhkar. Oh yeah, one more question. I didn't have it here, but I just wanted to. What is the reward of reciting Surah Ikhlas 10 times?
You will have a palace in Jannah.
palace in Jannah. Barakallahu feek. So see how easy it is. See how the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we just recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times and you get a palace built for you in Jannah, inshallah. Okay, so continuing on. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's in the seventh heaven, okay? And one of the things that happened during the journey, again, we don't know exactly when this conversation took place, but we know it happened during Isra wal Mi'raj. And the reason was, remember I told you that the Prophet ﷺ did not narrate the whole starting from start to finish. It was related later on in different narrations. So the Prophet ﷺ is reported in Muslim Imam Ahmad rahimahullah that on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet ﷺ said, "I met laqitu layta usri abi." I met on the night that I was taken up to the heavens, and the night journey basically and taken up to the heavens after that. I met Ibrahim alayhi salam wa Musa wa Isa alayhi salatu salam. So he met these three prophets, and he says, "Fatadhakaru amra sa'a." So they were discussing themselves about the time of the hour, meaning the day of judgment. So they're talking about that, and they said, "Faraddu amrahum ila Ibrahim alayhi salam." So they started with Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they asked him, "What do you say about the hour, the final hour, the day of judgment?" He said, "La ilma li biha." He said, "I don't have any knowledge about it." Then they asked Musa alayhi salam, he again said, "La ilma li biha," meaning I don't have any knowledge about it. And then then they asked Isa alayhi salam about the hour, and Isa alayhi salam responded by saying that as for its timing, meaning as for the timing, the coming of the sa'ah, when it's gonna happen, only Allah, la ya'lamuha illa ahad illallah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when it will come. And then he goes on to say, but as for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me of what about it, about the sa'ah, is that Dajjal will come forth. And we know this is one of the 10 signs, major signs of the Day of Judgment, is just before Isa alayhi salam comes back to this earth, Dajjal will appear. Excuse me. So Dajjal will come forth, and Isa alayhi salam will face him. And we know that Isa alayhi salam, that when Dajjal, as soon as he sees Isa, just the sight of Isa alayhi salam looking at Dajjal, he'll start to melt. So Dajjal will start to melt and he'll start to run away from Isa alayhi salam. And then Isa alayhi salam says that the people in the army of Dajjal, there'll be such a point where the trees and stones will call out to the Muslims and say, "Oh Muslim, here is one of the enemy, the adu of Allah, the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind me, come and kill him." So this is from the what's going to happen during the time of Dajjal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy Dajjal through Isa alayhi salam. Then Isa alayhi salam says, "Thumma yarju nas ila biladihim." Then the people after the killing of Dajjal, the people will go back to their country. They go back to their families, go back to their homes. And at that point, Ya'juj and Ma'juj will appear. And this is another major sign of the Day of Judgment. And the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will appear, and they'll come out from every direction, and they'll basically take over the world, take over the earth. And people, the Muslims that remain who are not killed, they will run up to the mountains, including Isa alayhi salam, they'll go up to the mountains and they'll be taking refuge in the mountains. Excuse me. So then Isa alayhi salam says that the people will come to him and ask him to make dua again. They'll complain against about Ya'juj Ma'juj, and Isa alayhi salam will make dua against Ya'juj Ma'juj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy them. Some narrations say it's going to be some kind of insect. It could be some kind of bacteria, it could be maybe a virus, Allah alam, whatever it is, what's going to come. And I think it's going to come like behind their ear, I believe, or somewhere, and they're gonna all die from that. Then after that, the earth will be full of a very disgusting smell because of the numerous bodies of Ya'juj and Ma'juj all over the body, all over the world. So Isa alayhi salam will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, and the rain will come, and basically the bodies will be washed away to the sea, and the sea will destroy the bodies. So after that, Isa alayhi salam says that from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assured me, فِيمَا أَهِدَ إِلَيَّ رَبِّي. So that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assured me with, that أَنَّ ذَلَكَ إِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ السَّعَكَ الْحَامِلَ الْمُتِمِ. So a woman in her ninth month of pregnancy, where her expected date is coming around, you don't know when she's going to go into labor. It can just come all of a sudden. So she's waiting. and everyone around, you know, you're in anxious and you're waiting for that day to come. So it'll be like that day where a person is in, the female is in her ninth month of pregnancy and she's close to her date. The hour will be like that. You don't know when it's going to come. It can come all of a sudden. Another thing that the Prophet ﷺ tells us about this night, as he says, this is a hadith related by Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet ﷺ told us about the night that which this miracle occurred, the night journey. And he said, أَنَّهُ لَمْ يَمُرْ, that he did not pass by عَلَى مَلَئٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَ, he did not pass by any group of angels, إِلَّا أَمَرُوا, except that they would say to him and they would order him and say, أَنْمُرْ أُمَّتَكْ بِالْحِجَامَةِ, that order and command your ummah to do hijama. Hijama is wet cupping. Basically, it became famous here in the U.S. I think, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when Michael Phelps and the Olympic teams, when they came out and they had a bunch of red circles on their backs. You guys remember that? The swimmers, they had a bunch of red marks on their backs, and it was all over the media talking about this practice of cupping. But they did not mention anything about the Prophet ﷺ. They did not mention anything about being sunnah. And they kept on saying this is an ancient Chinese practice, without any mention that the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to do this and he would do it himself. And he told us the benefits of this. Also, the Prophet ﷺ in different ahadith about hijama, he told us that this is a cure for all types of sicknesses and diseases. So it's something that it was a practice of the Prophet ﷺ. We should do it, alhamdulillah, in you know, Medina, in Saudi Arabia, and different places. There's hijama centers there. Even here in the U.S. now, there's places where you can get it done. And there's even these packs or these things you can buy from Amazon. It's like $20, I think, or something. And you get a whole group of things, like a package, and you can do it yourself. Just be careful, and you know, before you do it, but you can do it, inshallah, yourself. Yes?
Does it hurt?
No, it's just basically a small incision that you make with the blade, like a scalpel, for example. And that kind of, you kind of, the fear is more than the pain.
Okay, but that sounds like the same thing the doctor tells me before they're going to give me the needle.
It's less than the needle. It's less than the needle, so don't worry. It doesn't hurt as much as the bar. So that's hijama, and we should try to do that, inshallah. That's a cure for all kinds of sicknesses, okay? Another thing, the Prophet ﷺ, during this night journey, so he's on the, about, remember, we know that the seventh heaven, and Jannah, right now, it's somewhere in the seventh heaven, or above the seventh heaven, it's somewhere over there. Jahannam, on the other hand, there's different opinions. One of the opinions, actually, they say that Jahannam could be actually Middle Earth, the core of this earth. So we're sitting atop of Jahannam, according to that opinion. Anyway, so the Jannah, the Prophet ﷺ went, he entered into Jannah during this night journey. And one of the hadith related by Anas ibn Malik, he says that he saw written on the door, the doors of Jannah, مكتوب على باب الجنة الصدقة بعشر أمثالها, that when you give sadaqah, you'll get, the least you can get is 10 times the reward. والقرض بثمانية عشرة, and قرض meaning giving someone a loan is 18 times, minimum is 18. So the Prophet ﷺ saw that on the door of Jannah. Another thing, the Prophet ﷺ says that those people who call adhan, the Prophet ﷺ says that the khalqul jannah laylata usriya bi, when I entered into Jannah that night of this night journey, faraait fiha janabith min lu'lu turabuha al-misk, he said that I saw in it there were round structures, and the turabuha al-misk, and there was misk as the, like on the floor, as the soil was misk. And he says that liman hadha ya Jibril, who are these for, who owns this, who gets the sharaf of this, who gets the honor of having this? And Jibreel alayhi salam says, lil mu'adhineen wa lil a'imma min ummatik ya Muhammad alayhi salam, that this is for the people who call adhan and the people who lead the prayers, the ones who are imams. These special places are for those people. Another hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam says that I heard a voice, that I entered into Jannah that night, fasami'tu min janibiha wajsan, that I heard a conversation taking place on from one side, and I asked Ya Jibril, ma hada, what is this salt, what is this voice I hear, what is the conversation I hear? And he says, this is Bilal al-Mu'adhin, this is Bilal radiallahu anhu. So meaning that was one of the bashara, that was one of the bushra for glad tidings for Bilal radiallahu anhu, that his voice was being heard in Jannah. And there's another hadith that where the Prophet ﷺ says that he heard the footsteps of Bilal radha in front of him in Jannah, and then when he, and this is it could have been of another, it could have been another narration, like a different time, and when the Prophet ﷺ saw a dream of Jannah, for example, so he saw the Bilal radha, he heard the footsteps of Bilal radha, and he asked him that, what is it that I hear your footsteps wherever I go in Jannah? And Bilal radha responded by saying, I mean, there's nothing special that I do, but one thing he said, that every time he breaks his wudu, he would do wudu again, he would be, meaning mudamama ala al-wudu, he would always be in the state of wudu, and he would do two raka'ah after doing wudu, so he'd do two raka'ah nafal. Another thing the Prophet ﷺ saw in Jannah, he says that I went in and he said, I saw, he saw a man, rajulun tawil, la akadu ara ra'sa tulan fis sama. So there was a man, a very tall man, and he was, I couldn't see his face because of how tall he was, and his face, basically, his head was in the skies. So he said, I saw this tall man, wa idha hawlu rajul min akthari wildan ra'aytum qat. So he said that around this tall man were a bunch of children, which I have never seen that many children ever in my life. So he says he saw this, and he asked the who is this person? And they said, this tall man is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and the people of the Wildan, the children that are around him, they are the kullu mawlun mata ala al-fitra. They are every child that died on the fitra, meaning when the children are before before puberty, if they die, then they all go to Jannah, even if they are from the mushrikeen, because they are on the fitra. Okay, so these children are basically those people, and they're waiting for their parents, inshallah, to enter into Jannah, if their parents enter into Jannah. Another hadith related to this, where the Prophet ﷺ says that awladul mu'minin fi jabalin fil Jannah, the people, the sons and daughters of the mu'minin are in Jannah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah. So Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Sarah alayhi salam, they are taking yatakaffaluhum or yakfuluhum. They are taking care of these children, basically hatta yaruddahum ila abaihim yawm al-qiyamah, until their parents come into Jannah. They are taking care of these children. So if anyone has a child that passed away in a young age, for example, at birth or after birth, any time between birth and puberty, that child is waiting for the parents, and that they will come and take the hand of the parents and enter them into Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. Another thing the Prophet ﷺ saw in Jannah, he said that I saw a people who were half their bodies were very beautiful, and the other half were very ugly, أقبح, meaning they were really ugly. So he asked that, what are these? And then he saw that he heard someone say to them, go to this river and take a bath in that river. And after they came out of the river, they're complete, they're all beautiful, meaning 100% beautiful. Now, not 50-50, but 100% beautiful. And the Prophet ﷺ asked that, who are these people? And the response was given that these are the قوم الذين كانوا شطرا, that the ones who were half and half, they are the ones that they did good actions and they did evil actions, meaning they did both. They were good and they were bad, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave their sins and entered them into Jannah. Another thing the Prophet ﷺ saw in Jannah, he says that I went and I saw bithalathati nafar, I saw three men, a group of three men together, and they are yashrabuna min khamrin lahum, they were drinking from the wine of Jannah. So he asked that man ha'ula, who are these people? And the response was given that ha'ula Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, Zayd ibn Haritha, the adopted son of the Prophet ﷺ, wa Abdullah ibn Rawaha radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. These are the three Sahaba that were drinking wine in Jannah. And we know their story that these are the ones, all three of them died side by side. They were martyred in the battle. Anybody know what the battle's name is? The battle that they died in? It's in Jordan, actually. There's a place, it's called Mu'ta. Okay, and basically what happened was, after the Hudaybiyah Treaty, the Prophet ﷺ sent out letters to different leaders of different nations, and one of the letters were sent to the Christian Arabs who were to the north of Arabia. And when that ambassador reached there, they actually arrested him, or they caught him, and they killed him. And this was against international, even now up to today, it's against international law. The ambassadors have diplomatic immunity. They're not allowed to be arrested and whatnot, whatever. So if killing someone like that, that's an act of war. So they actually killed the messenger of the Prophet ﷺ, who the Sahabi that was sent to them with the letter. And Rasulullah ﷺ sent 3,000 Muslims, this army of 3,000 was sent to go and fight them and teach them a lesson, basically. This is an act of war in response to that. And this battle took place where 3,000 Sahaba against 200,000 Romans. So this is a huge battle that took place. And Rasulullah, I don't want to go too much into detail, we can talk about it when the time comes, inshallah. But these Sahaba, Zayd ibn Haritha, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, and Abdullah ibn Rawah, one by one, the Prophet said that Zayd is the leader. If he dies, if he's martyred, then Ja'far. If he dies, then Abdullah ibn Rawaha. So one by one, the Prophet never did that before and never did that after. He never assigned three leaders. It was just one leader. If he dies, if he gets shaheed, if he's martyred, then someone else takes over. But he named all three of them. And this is because he knew three of them are going to die in that battle. And they all three died in that battle. Another thing the Prophet saw in this journey is that the Prophet says, أَتَيْتُ عَلَى نَهَرْ حَافَتَاهُ قِبَابُ اللُّؤْلُ مُجَوَّفَ. He said that I went to this place and there was a river on which there were pavilions on both sides made of pearls and emeralds. And flying around it were delicate green birds. And he said that on the banks of this river were vessels of gold and silver. And they had pebbles made of sapphire and emerald. So this beautiful scenery, this beautiful river that he sees in paradise. And he says its water was whiter than milk. And the Prophet ﷺ said he put his hand into it. And he found that the soil was very fine musk. So it wasn't dirt underneath. You know, nowadays when you step in the water or if you mix it, the dirt comes up and it gets all muddy. This is musk under the water. So even if you mix it, it becomes even more fragrant and even more beautiful and tasty. So Rasulullah ﷺ said that he took one of the vessels and he scooped up some water and drank it, and he found it sweeter than honey and more fragrant than musk. So he asked Jibreel ﷺ that what is this? And he responded by saying, this is Al-Kawthar, which your Lord has stored for you, which Allah SWT has promised for you. So we know that Rasulullah was promised Surah Al-Kawthar, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna a'tayna kal-Kawthar, that we have given you Al-Kawthar, we have given you Kawthar. So this is a promise from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And we know that Al-Kawthar is actually going to be brought forth on the Day of Judgment. So people, remember the Day of Judgment is going to be 50,000 years long. Okay, the sun will be right above our heads. The only people who will be under the shade of Allah's throne will be those. There's people of certain categories. Those are righteous, and we'll talk about that, inshallah. But those people will be there. But the people will have. They'll be thirsty, standing so long, and because of the heat inside, they'll be thirsty. And then the Hawd of Kawthar will be brought forth, and the people will go to drink from this Hawd. And the Prophet ﷺ will be standing there to welcome us, inshallah. If we go, when we go there and when we walk up to him, the Prophet ﷺ will welcome us with a smile. And he will, with his own blessed hands, give us to drink from Hawd al-Kawthar. So the people will go to him and inshallah drink, and they won't get any thirst after that. Now Rasulullah ﷺ tells us in one of the hadith that on that day, I'll be standing there and the people will be coming forth. A group of people will be coming forth, and then a wall of angels will appear. They'll come and stop them, basically come in between a barrier between Rasulullah and these people. And Rasulullah will say to them that, what are you guys doing? These people are from my ummah. Why are you stopping these people? And they will respond, but you don't know what they did after you. You don't know how they acted after you. So one of the things is that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq, inshallah, to be of those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet in accordance to how he wants it, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it, and how the Prophet wants us to follow the sunnah, not making up stuff, not changing, not doing things out of our own whims and desires, because Allah protects us all. We don't want to be of those who go, and when they see the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ and the smile of the Prophet ﷺ from afar, and when they go forward, a barrier will be put between them, and they will not be able to drink from the hands of the Prophet ﷺ. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to act upon that, inshallah. I'll stop there, and then we'll continue on next week. I think will be the last session about Isra wal Mi'raj. We'll talk about the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll talk about Sidratul Muntaha. We'll talk about the conversation, the meeting of the Prophet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll talk about the obligation of salawat, and then we'll talk about what happened when the Prophet came back to Makkah Mukarramah, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhanahu rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.